Primus songs, Ray Conniff and his singers. And that is called To Simply Ring Christmas Bells. It is 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon. Welcome to 123 Phoenix 98 FM. Now then, I'd love to welcome my guest this afternoon. Neil is in the studio, and Neil is a podiatrist. Now, 10 years ago, Neil, would I have called you a chiropodist? And what's the difference? Or are you is chiropody no longer a thing?
Good afternoon, Mike. So I graduated in 2001 as a podiatrist. Chiropody is the original name, as associated with cutting toenails and corns and callus and hard skin. But it's become more specialised now, so you can specialise in biomechanics, so assessing how somebody walks, if they have flat feet or high arch feet, providing them with an insole, which will hopefully make them walk better and reduce their aches and pains in their hips, knees and back. Also, you can do nail surgery, so if somebody has an ingrowing toenail, you can either conservatively try and treat it, make it feel comfortable, and or provide surgery.
The whole thing sounds a massive science, so let's go back to the very beginning then. Sure. How on earth do you get into that?
Well, I was originally going to become a PE teacher, and then I twisted my knee running for the bus one day. I was then referred to a podiatrist by my GP, and they provided some orthotics, and that helped my knees massively. And then when it came time to the crunch to go to university, I thought 4 years of university of doing PE might ruin my knee, so I thought I'd knock that on the head. And then I saw an advert for podiatry at University College Northampton, and it said you could specialise in minor surgery, sports biomechanics and injuries, helping the elderly and diabetes, and I thought, well, give that a go. And then, well, 20 years later, here I am now.
Here you are. You've got a practice in the Brentwood Centre, and you're a very busy man. You've got a huge client list, haven't you?
That's very true. As of today, I've amassed 923 patients.
Wow.
Now, something right.
Just to let you into a little secret, dear listener, I have been a patient this morning. I have horrified myself. I don't really suffer from knee. I had an arthroscopy about 20 years ago, which seemed to do the trick, but I get the odd twinge and twinges in my feet, etc. But my good partner told me probably about 8 years ago that I walked awkwardly. And explain the process of what you've actually done for me this morning.
So when a patient presents, like yourself, Mike, I'll assess your foot range of motions first within all the major joints within the foot, and then I'll have the patient stand up and assess your foot and leg alignment, and then I can show you what your foot looks like in its relaxed and neutral positions, and how much range of motion is occurring at the knee and the feet and the legs. Then we'll do some video gait analysis, so I film you on the treadmill walking from the front and back, and from that I can assess your optimal position for your foot with a temporary pair of insoles to start with, and this will just give you the confidence of peace of mind that it's actually going to help you, and then that should subside. That should help with your knee pains.
I have to say, what was that? It was over an hour and a half ago. I've been walking around the Brentwood Centre, and I've forgotten already. I've forgotten they're there. I'm getting used to them already. I have to also say that, looking at the film of myself, it reminded me of looking in the back of an elephant with a tent pole stuck up my bottom. I didn't realise. It's horrifying to see how you actually do walk when you look at it in slow motion. And that's the learning point for you, isn't it, to see exactly where the problems lie.
Exactly. And also as well, most patients have an awareness that something's not right, whether it's a parent who's concerned their child's not walking or running properly, or themselves, if they've started an exercise regime or they've increased their activity levels. If they start developing aches and pains in their hips, knees and back, potentially it's going to be foot related. So I offer a free advisory consult. If a patient's not sure what way to go for treatment wise, I offer a free advisory consult, and I can just go through with them their basic biomechanics, and then we can sort of take it from there, really.
How are we as a nation, as walkers, do we do things right, do we do wrong? Do we buy poor shoes? Do we exercise incorrectly? What do we do as a nation, would you say?
Well, the body is a very resilient bit of kit. I mean, you can get through, especially through, military training. A lot of patients can get through serious, hard, physical training, even for the Ironman training. Basically, most problems result from the foot type. So most patients present with some degree of excessive pronation, and that's when the foot rolls in too much. And this can lead to the knee pointing inwards and the legs internally rotating. This can lead to knee aches and pains walking up and down stairs. It can lead to sciatica type developments in the hips, and also it can increase the curvature of your lower back, which then puts more strain on the muscles, which then can lead to lower back pain. So it depends on how resilient that individual is. But once you have your feet aligned and reassessed, that gives you a better chance and, give you less likely chance of an injury.
So
in the future,
if your feet aren't operating as they should, that can really relate to back pain and all the way up the body.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. a lot of people don't realise this. So
what are most people come to? What's the most common complaint people come to you with?
Knee pain, walking up and down stairs, plantar fasciitis or heel pain.
Say that again slowly. What was that?
Plantar fasciitis.
Which is, heel sounds pain. Like something you have with chips. But
well, basically it's a pain just on the inside of the heel and arch. So most patients normally present with pain getting out of bed in the mornings or getting up from a seated laying position. It's quite a sharp stabbing pain, or it sometimes feels like a tearing sensation on the bottom of your foot. That's plantar fasciitis. How I can treat that is, again, by assessing you with gait analysis and also providing some conservative treatments with a temporary insole and some stretching advice as well. And normally the pain should start to subside after about 5 to 6 weeks. You should start to experience some improvement with that. But some patients have had the plantar fasciitis for about 5 years, 10 years, until they sort of come to me. So it's quite a debilitating condition to have.
And you've got a fairly good success record of curing. Is cure the right word or treating it?
Managing it and treating it as best as possible. There's only a few patients who might not respond as well as I would like, and then there's other clinicians I would refer on to for either potential steroid injections or for further assessment if required. So if I feel that my treatment can't help any longer, then I will refer on to another specialist if required.
So when somebody's walked up and down Lakeside for 3 hours and they just come and they kick their shoes off and kick their feet and their feet are literally humming, is that because they've possibly got ill-fitting shoes or they've got cheaper shoes? Or should we buy them more expensive shoes, or does more expensive mean better fitting?
Not necessarily. As long as the shoe has the right shape. I mean, ideally it would be good to show you on sort of camera, but as long as your shoe has a good rounded-off domed-off toe box, it's generally some sort of securing, so either laces or Velcro fastening. It just secures the shoe to the foot a lot better. Patients with flat feet for excessive pronation, when they wear slip-on shoes, because there's nothing securing the shoe to the foot, the toes have to claw a lot more to get grip, and that can put a lot of pressure on patients' tips of their toes. That can result in hard skin formation on the tips of the toes, even some sort of soft corn which can form in between the toes as well. So yeah, a lace-up shoe, some sort of secured shoe would be better.
Okay. Elderly patients seem to suffer from calluses and corns and bunions, etc. Is that something you can give advice on?
Absolutely. Normally, hard skin is an indication as an increase in pressure going through that area of the foot. I can take off the hard skin by sharp debridement with my scalpel and then make the skin all nice and smooth. And also, if the patient does require, I can provide them with an insole again, which can help offload those areas where there's an increase in pressure and make walking more comfortable for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I say, especially in the elderly, they do seem... My mother's feet seem to distort almost as she got older and older, you know, and a bunion can distort a foot, can't it?
Absolutely. With excessive pronation too, what you'll find is as the foot rolls in too much, it can make actually the big toe deviate across laterally, so it starts crossing over to the second toe and the third toe, and this can lead to a lot of joint pain for the patient.
Okay, right, going to take a quick break for some music, and we've asked for your suggestions this morning, and of course you've come up with a couple already. This is Tears of Fears and Head Over Heels. Yeah, it's corny, isn't it? Tits for Fits, of course, and that is Head Over Heels. And we are talking all about feet and knees. Neil is here, back in a moment after the travel and these.
Introducing the ITS hosted phone system, full of amazing features that can save your business money. With just one small monthly fee, you'll get the phone system, a free handset, and a whopping call package. And best of all, installation is free for a limited period. So hurry and contact us on 01279 944 144 or visit www.itstelco.co.uk for more information or a 30-day free trial.
Looking for a local business that you know you can trust?
The Essex Business Forum brings together the very best local businesses, all operating under the EBF Mark of Excellence.
From accountants to architects, wine merchants to web designers, bookkeepers to builders, and everything in between.
So next time you're in the hunt for a quality local business, remember the Mark of Excellence and visit EssexBusinessForum.com.
Hi, I'm Mikey here. Why don't you join me for breakfast every weekday morning only on Phoenix FM? It's between 7 and 10 and it's 98 on the FM dial or online at phoenixfm.com. Just after 9, we do the top 10 from when. This is where I play you the top 10 best-selling songs from a particular month and year from some time over the past 4.5 decades. Just guess the month and year. We've got travel news every half an hour and news at the top of the hour. So that's Mikey Poulter on breakfast only on Phoenix FM in association with St. Francis Hospice.
Phoenix FM Travel News, in association with the Beaches Care and Nursing Home, London Road, Brentwood.
Right, big problem this morning is the M25. Anti-clockwise, all lanes have just been reopened between 27, that's the M11 junction, 28, that is 26, correction, Waltham Abbey, following a broken down vehicle that caused a spillage. Delays, looking at the map now, much better. The queue has actually got worse towards our area, so it's bad. It's slow all the way back from the M11, then it gets really bad as you get past Old McDonald's Farm. At the moment, it's almost packed up, mister, but that will improve. Slow going up to Gallows Corner, Ardley Green, that's because of those ongoing roadworks. 2019, we're told. Looking at Brentwood itself, it's heavy as you come up the Ongar Road up to Wilson's Corner. Very slow as you come up the 128 up to Wilson's Corner from Shenfield Common. More in half an hour.
Take a closer look at the beaches and find out why residents love living here and why staff love to work here. Call us today on Brentwood 690 300.
There will be a Yuletide Harry's Challenge later on today, but that won't be for a while. I'm very pleased to welcome again Neil is back in the studio, and we're talking all about feet, and you've got a big list of stuff that you do here. I'm going to go down the list, and people might go, oh, really? Ingrown toenails. Right, what causes an ingrown toenail? It's such a common thing, isn't it?
It is indeed, Mike. So a patient will either start to have a few aches and pains with their big toe, so they'll start cutting it down into the corner themselves. The problem is, though, as much as that may relieve the toe temporarily, the problem is it's creating like a V formation, and there's a small spike that starts growing into the nail, which you can't see.
Screaming? I'm sorry.
So with time, this just gets worse and worse and worse. So as a podiatrist, I can just keep cutting that section out to try and make the patient feel better. But with time, it will get to a stage where it will need to be surgically removed. And so for that, I would provide an injection into the base of the toe. Make sure the toe goes numb first, and then basically that would certainly help. Take out that section of nail, or depends on the shape and deformity of the nail, either take off the whole nail, and that then should relieve the patient nicely.
It just occurred to me that your opening statement there, the big toe, is it only the big toe ingrown toes?
It's generally the big toe. However, you can have the other little toenails as well, which can hurt.
Right. Why does the little toe always... my little toe, I don't know, it's just me or just because I'm weird. Little toe seems to fold right under all the others. Is that a fairly common thing?
Yeah, it's very... Indeed. Normally, patients with flat feet or excessive pronation, because the foot's collapsing in too much, basically, the toes are trying to get as much grip as possible. So what you'll find is the fourth and fifth toe, the two end toes, will start to claw a lot more. And so they have this, it's called abductor varus, basically where they rotate round and they start curving. And sometimes you'll find the little toenail will start to thicken up as well.
Now, my daughter, who's she's 17 now, when she was born, she's got webbed feet.
Okay.
And so she's got skin on, not her big toe. What's the next two called? Is there a name for those two there?
No, just second, third.
Just a second, right, yeah, between the second and third, the skin is, so there's very little gap.
Okay.
There. And they said they were horrified at the time because they missed it. And when we got her home and she was like a couple of days old, and went, oh, I hadn't seen that, you know, and the doctors went, oh, we didn't see that either. And they told her then that they couldn't do surgery then because there was nothing to... she didn't have enough skin to do a graft, if she needed to. I mean, she hasn't had nothing done since those days, and I don't think she wants to. She's used to it now. You know, it's only when she goes swimming that people go, oh, you've got a webbed foot, but that's quite a common thing as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. In regards to surgery, you should only really wait until you actually... If you're in a lot of pain and it's really debilitating you and affecting your life, then surgery would be a good consideration.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It's no pain or anything.
Yeah,
she
in that case,
about
leave it alone then.
Yeah, it's just a cosmetic thing, really.
Basically, yeah.
Isn't it? Okay. Hard skin. Everybody suffers from hard skin, don't they?
Yep. So a lot of patients can either end up with hard skin on the sort of big toe joint, side of the big toe, sort of middle of the balls of the feet. Again, hard skin is due to a protective mechanism. Basically, it indicates an increase in pressure in that area. So as a podiatrist, I can see your foot and then take off that hard skin and smooth it all off and make it more comfortable for you. Corns, that's a much more concentrated area of pressure. And normally, you'll have to take off the overlying hard skin with a scalpel and then dig out, but carve out the hard bit of skin that's grown within the foot itself.
As you get older, does the skin get harder?
Not necessarily. Again, it's still due to the foot type. Once you have your foot repositioned with an insole to help it, that should reduce the hard skin quite considerably.
Okay, when you were looking at the films today of me, I shocked myself by looking at my knees, how much damage I am doing to my knees by the way I'm walking. Can you just explain how that works and a sort of impact of the foot on the ground? We haven't got TV cameras. how by putting down it can damage the knees if you're not walking correctly.
Sure. Okay, so starting with the feet, with the excessive pronation to start with, what will happen is your foot type will make you walk in a certain way. So you'll start taking shorter steps. Your feet will probably come in closer together as well. This will then mean when the foot rolls in, it makes the leg internally rotate, which then makes the knees point inwards. Because the feet aren't functioning properly or aren't working efficiently, it leads to high impact forces going through the foot. So this can lead to heel pain in the base of the heel because that's that's thumping effect.
Yeah.
It'll be a continual process. And then it sends a shock straight up into the shins, up into the knees, and your hips and back after that.
Right, okay, that will obviously cause long-term damage. And men, when they get to... Why is it then when men get to sort of a bit... plus 50, normally, as a very rough average, men start to need knee replacements. Women seem to be a bit later than that. Is there any reason for that? Or would you disagree with my figures?
it's difficult. I can't make comment on that in regards to figures. But you're right. There will be a lot more arthroscopies, as in where the surgeon goes in and cleans the knee out. Generally, it's going to be due to joint wear and tear, in essence. So if your mechanics of your lower limbs and feet aren't aligned, this actually increases the rate of wear and tear on the joints.
Okay. Do you get a lot of sportsmen coming to see you?
Yep. A lot of people from the gym, either triathletes, Ironmen, soldiers, police officers.
Footballers?
Footballers, rugby players. I've had a lot of children who are about 9 years of age who play for the sort of football youth teams, like Arsenal or West Ham.
Right, okay. Leslie, you just mentioned children there. Let's go right back to the very beginning.
Sure.
My granddaughter is now just celebrated her first birthday, and we've just been out and bought the first, proper, what we think, let's say the name, Clarks. They're supposed to be good shoes. How important is it for children to have correctly fitting feet?
Very important.
Feet,
indeed.
Shoes, I mean.
So it's very important as well, because if the shoe's too small, some patients can have one foot slightly bigger than the other foot. And if the shoe's not fitted correctly, it can cause compression on the foot. It can lead to sort of pins and needles and numbness and other sort of aches and pains for the patients. So especially for the little kiddies as well, make sure the shoe fits make sure you go for like half a size bigger to accommodate any foot swelling, and also the foot will move around inside the shoe, not massively but a little amounts, but at least that will accommodate for any movement and, let's say, make things a bit more comfortable for the patient.
So what should a parent do then if they think their child, not at the age of one, because you can't really, feet are going everywhere, aren't they? But
exactly.
So maybe when the child gets to 4 or 5 and they look at the child and think, walking a little bit oddly there, should they go to the NHS or should they come see you, or what does the NHS do for them?
Once again, you'll go to your GP for that first of all, and then he will then send you on to either physio, podiatry, for further assessments. A lot of parents have come to see me complaining that their child seems to walk in a funny way, or doesn't seem to run, or doesn't seem to run as fast as their colleagues or their fellow friends. Normally, or even I had one lady who complained that her daughter would cry, would hate running from the car to the front of the school. And no child, unless there's any serious deformity or any sort of medical history to go with that, there's no reason why a child should be in so much pain. There's none at all. I mean, there will be growing pains, which are normally top of the shin for Oscar Slatters or Severs of the heels. Those are the major areas where the major muscle groups insert into. But that should settle down after a few months. If the child's complaining of continual aches and pains, then for me, that indicates it's more biomechanically related. So something with their feet, which is then causing these aches and pains in their legs and further up the chain into the body.
What you're really saying is if we get it right at the feet end, then it should stop the back, the hips, the knees having problems. If you get the feet right, then it should make everything much better.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I like to use the analogy of wearing glasses. So if you have insoles, if you wear your insoles, that keeps your foot aligned and your leg aligned, and it should give you less of a chance to get injured and make you more efficient. If you don't wear your glasses, for example, you can't see. So it's ideal to try to wear your insoles as much as possible. And the insoles themselves won't necessarily alter the structure, won't permanently alter the function of your foot. It will just manage its condition. So when you don't wear your insoles, your foot's just going to return to its normal position again. So that's why I always recommend to patients to try to wear their insoles as much as practically possible.
Okay, right. Another quick break for music and then back with some more. This time we've got Crowded House and this is Fall at Your Feet.
Rain down on me.
house full at your feet. We're talking about feet, but first of all, let's just do the business news headlines. A big change in Ryanair policy and rivals BT and Strike at Sky strike a new deal over their television channels. Barry Weir has this lunchtime's business news.
Ryanair is changing its policy and is going to recognise unions as the firm tries to avoid a strike planned next week. The airline's written to workers' groups in six European countries, including the UK and Ireland, inviting them for talks. Some Ireland-based pilots are scheduled to walk out on Wednesday in a dispute over employee rights. The chairman of Persimmon is quitting the house builder after concerns about executive pay. Some investors aren't happy about a long-term incentive plan, which could see management share £600 million depending on profit and targets. The company admits the scheme could have included a cap. Workers on Virgin Trains West Coast are said to be solidly supporting a strike by two unions over pay. Virgin says most of its services will run despite the action. And BT customers will be able to access more Sky content in future, including programmes like Game of Thrones and Westworld. A deal between the two rivals means Sky Atlantic and Sky Cinema shows will be available on a BT box, probably from early 2019.
My book came in the other day with the raging ump. Said that Mike Jones was back on the radio again. He said, I ain't listening to that twaddle. He won't listen to him. Don't like him. Can't stand him. I done burnt a bit of liver and bacon. He likes a bit of liver and bacon. Don't like Mike Jones, though. Nah, don't like him.
On Phoenix FM, it's the Mike Jones Radio Show. A firm favourite with the whole family.
Of course. It is 25 minutes to two. I'm talking to the lovely Neil McAllister. He's from the Kinetic Podium. Have to say the word now. How do I say it?
Podiatry.
Podiatry, that's the word I'm looking for. Do we ignore our feet? Do we, you know, if we've got a cold, I have a cold, we've got a chest pain, if we get, we're not worried about feet, Nick. Can't be anything wrong with them. Do we ignore them? Do we mistreat them?
Generally, yes. A lot of patients will just carry on. Obviously, you have busy lives, you work hard, you have your family life. So any sort of aches and pains, generally people have, they sort of let it go and it subsides. Well, they let it go for a while and then things just seem to get worse and worse. And after maybe a few months or a few years, the aches and pains become more consistent and more, you know, constant all the time. So then the patient then needs to seek help. So normally most patients that come to see me are reactionary, so they'll have a pain in their foot, they've been to see various other individuals, and then they come and see my banner at the Brentwood Centre, or they see a leaflet, and then they give me a call. Like I say, I offer like a free advisory consult, so if someone's not sure if I can help them or not, I can see them for 10 to 15 minutes, and I can go through a few options with them, and then we sort of take it from there.
So if somebody's got a back pain, they may throw away the jacket. They wouldn't throw away the jacket, but if they've got a pain in their feet, they might throw away the shoes. At least the shoes are badly fitting.
Exactly. Generally, it's going to be due to your foot type, which is going to result in these aches and pains the patient's going to have in their feet, like big toe joint pain, even causing growing toenails. And again, because that foot's rolling in too much, can actually make that the nail itself curl around, which then makes the ingrown toenail worse.
Okay, let's get disgusting now. Let's talk about some diseases of the feet. Let's start with athlete's foot then. What is athlete's foot?
Basically, it's a sort of mycology. It's a sort of a fungus infection on the toe. So if you're in the showers, communal showers at the gym, make sure you dry your feet thoroughly. Also, I normally recommend to wear flip-flops. Try and keep your feet off the ground as best as possible, because this is where verrucas and sort of athlete's foot can be picked
up. We're
going
back to the 60s there with verrucas. Be careful, verrucas, when you went swimming. I had a verruca when I went swimming at school in 1964. I thought the verrucas were a thing of the past.
Oh, no, they're back with vengeance. No, they're around a lot, yes.
What is a verruca?
Basically, it's a virus. It's similar to the wart virus on the hand, but it's more on the foot. A lot of patients get them anywhere. It could be anywhere on the feet. It can be a few millimetres in diameter. It could be about an inch in diameter as well. I've had a few of those in the past. So it just depends where. But again, with that, it's about trying to you sharp debridements to take away the overlying skin, try and make the area bleed, and then applying either some acids and pastes, which I have, which will then help destroy that sort of superficial tissue and hopefully get rid of the virus that way.
Wow. Okay. Diabetic assessment. What does that mean?
So a lot of patients now have diabetes. This can affect your sensations and your circulations as well. So some patients will find that they'll have like some tingly or numbness sensation in their feet or burning sensations. Or with the circulation, it can actually lead to atherosclerosis, so it starts clogging the arteries, but more so with the smaller capillaries and the arterioles as well. So again, this can affect healing time. So if a patient cuts themselves or cuts their foot, it takes a lot longer to heal up than normal. So as a podiatrist, what I can do is assess in essence, provide like an MOT of your feet. So check your sensations and check your circulations. And if I feel that you need further assessment or further, you know, input from the hospital, I can then refer you on accordingly.
Okay, and last but not least is this horrible nail disease, toe fungus. Is it called or nail fungus?
The name escapes me now.
The name escapes. Thing. It's fungally thing.
Fungal toenail, that's it. Fungal toenail infection, that's it.
Right. How is that caused? How do we treat it?
Basically, it's not drying your feet thoroughly. So everyone has a shower in the morning or have a bath, or you don't change your socks regularly enough, or you wear the same shoes day in, day out.
More than once a week, you mean?
You'd be surprised, yes. Basically trying to keep your feet as dry as possible, okay? So making sure you dry your feet thoroughly in between the toes, because the moisture starts to build up, and it basically the bacteria or the fungus loves that sort of environment, and then it starts to get moisture, and then it just, well, it deteriorates from there, really.
Okay, I know you explained to me that you're just painting them with antifungal doesn't really work, does it? Because the nail goes under the skin?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah, so it depends on the extent of the fungus on the nail. Now, your nail actually grows back about 3 or 4 mils past the actual skin line itself. So if your toenail's fully infected with fungus, painting the lacquer on is not really going to help, because the fungus is going to grow back in again. There's various medications and various treatments you can have which can help eradicate that quite nicely. So again, it all depends on the extent of the infection on the nail. But again, I can give you advice on that.
Okay, right. If you want to, I see on your leaflet here, you're offering free advisory consultation as well. What does that exactly mean?
So, say for yourself, Mike, you weren't too sure if you had, you know, say you had a fungal nail infection, for example. You could call me up, say, look, Neil, I've got this something going on with my toenails. Could you have a look at it, please? So I'll get you in, have the free advisory consult, and I can just show you or have a look and then let you know what I found and then how I can potentially help you. And we take it from there.
Fantastic. So, right, let's talk about the business itself. You're based here at the Brentwood Centre, so people just come along to the Brentwood Centre and make an appointment with you and come see you.
Absolutely, yep. So either give me a call or come knock on my door and we can make an appointment.
And what's your website?
It's kineticpodiatry.co.uk. All my contact details are on there, and also any sort of, if you would like some further information, please go to the website.
Okay, and we would like further information, so I'd like you to come back in, say, a couple of months, and we'll talk more feet.
I would love to, thank you.
Neil, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been fantastic. And I hope you enjoyed that. It wasn't too disgusting, was it? No. And I've got these new insoles in, so I'll report back in 8 weeks exactly how they're... I forgot about them already. So it's good. All right. Thank you, my friend.